You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Yes, indeed, like the dude just said, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. 4:07 p.m. right now on Thursday afternoon. That means we go to one of my favorite times of every single week. We call it the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the nether regions of our state and our own Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN. We ping each other with questions. We make the rounds. We see how we do. We don't know the questions in advance, and we may not always agree, but we love each other when it's done. So let me call the roll. Do I have a Jeff Poor handy?
I am present.
You are indeed present. And do I have a Dale Jackson on the phone?
Hello?
Not only on the phone, I think he's on the speakerphone. I can hear it bouncing off the walls.
I am not on the speakerphone. That would be super rude.
That would be super rude. All right, fellas, I pronounce a quorum. Let's go ahead and hit it, Copper.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Today.
Uh-oh.
This is so anticlimactic, Copper. What are we doing? I got
Assemble
no sound.
The Grand Council.
I hit it. Why couldn't you hear it?
I don't know, Copper. Why couldn't we hear it? Yes, that's the answer you should be providing.
You mean
Dale got to hear the sound of the horns and we didn't? That is just that I feel robbed at this point. But I'm going to go ahead and move on. All right, fellas, listen, we're going to go ahead. I'm hoping that Dale was not the only person in the world to hear the sound effect. But let's do this, Dale Jackson. First question, you go.
You and I both pointed something out today about Christopher England and his incredibly ridiculous position that we need to take care of LGBTQ rights and prison reform because of 19 kids who were killed in Texas and two teachers. He put out a statement, used the word BS, but spelled it out. AL.com thought that was amazing. They decided to run it as a headline. And it's just, God, what are these guys doing? Why would they go down this path on this issue?
Well, you know, and what a great point. Jeff, I don't know if you saw it or not, but yeah, that literally, I could not believe, first of all, that the chair of the Democrat Party puts out a statement in which he uses the word BS. I mean, actually has the word in there. And then I couldn't believe, secondly, that we have a news source that calls itself respectable that used that BS word in the headline like nobody was going to care. I guess they're not a family-friendly news source anymore. But yeah, that it's any opportunity to get the liberal agenda through, even if it means on the backs of 19 dead children. And I think it's reprehensible, and I guarantee you he's not going to be willing to come on either one of our shows to talk about it. Jeff?
Yeah.
How about we're missing Nancy Worley getting stuck on the toilet these days? Who would have thought that the Alabama Democratic Party would be in worse shape than it was under Joe Reed and Nancy Worley? Who is voting Democrat these days? What have they done? What has Chris England done? They built up these expectations, and it is even more lousy than it was before Chris England took over.
Jeff Poor on fire today. Dale Jackson, your own question. Speak to it.
Well, I don't have a problem with the word being used itself. It's just how they used it, knowing intentionally that it would inflame. And again, it's this whole fake edginess stuff that they're trying to do, and it just irritated me. And, yeah, you're right. England has no interest in defending that kind of stuff because he got what he wanted out of it. We're talking about it. It got ran in the newspaper, and he looks like he's had enough. It's time for us to do gun control and climate change and LGBTQ rights and prison reform and all the other stuff I've already always wanted. Do it. Give it to me now where you hate these dead kids.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, good luck with that in Alabama. Thank you very much. And he knows that.
Good luck with that in D.C.
Yeah, true. True. And what's really crazy, we belabor the point just for a minute longer, I really anticipated that Chris England taking over as the chair of the state party was going to do something good for the party because, you know, while I don't want to see Democrats succeed, I also know that the Republicans rise to the level of their competition. And right now, the reason why we have so much lackluster stuff going on in Montgomery is because they're getting fat and lazy because there's no competition. And there's not going to be any for a while, it looks like. So there's that. All right, I'll take the next question. the primary for U.S. Senate race. We got Katie Britt and Mo Brooks going forward. Katie Britt had 40-something, 44-point-something, I think it was, and Mo Brooks right around 30. That being said, Mo Brooks came out today with a statement saying that he believes that the Britt campaign was working a sort of a grassroots backdoor effort to have Democrats cross over to help the vote. So I'm wondering, is there any proof of that? What do you think of it? I'll go to the guy who endorsed him first, Dale Jackson.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to get any proof of that, like some email sent from Katie Britt to you know, in the other, the receiver is a secret Democrat or something. But what I do know is there were plenty of people, online's not real life, of course, saying, I'm a Democrat and I'm crossing over. You see it all the time. They hate Mo Brooks. I'm not sure what he, if he has any evidence, so to speak. But I don't think it's really required here for us to know that there are Democrats who are going to vote to try to beat Mo Brooks. I mean, there's no question about that. And Katie Britt would be stupid not to be happy about that.
Jeff Rowe.
Parker Griffith said it publicly that he was. Look, I think it's a natural phenomenon. There are – it's not necessarily that the Katie Britt campaign went into the inner city or went into the Black Belt looking for Democrat votes under rocks that they could get to vote for. I just think it's just a natural fit. The trial lawyers, these left-of-center places, they have a D next to their name, but they're not, like, woke, right? We're going to go, and I think if you look at the final tally and why it was off. When you look at the polls, why was Katie Britt, how did she outperform her polling? She's always had that 35% ceiling. And in polling, Democrat voters aren't likely Republican voters. They're Democrat voters, and they just crossed over and didn't show up in the polls. I think at least maybe 3, 4, 5% of that is of her total there.
Oh, good analysis. All right. Well, Jeff, your question, what you got?
Governor Ivey avoids a runoff. Is she the slay queen here? I mean, I maybe we live in the bubble here, but I thought she would get more of a challenge here. But people seem to be good with Governor Ivey. What happens next? And does she have a mandate?
You know, so I'll jump on that first. I was thinking about this morning, and you know, part of me, I really anticipated she was going to have a runoff. I mean, I predicted 3 out of the 4 I got right, but still that one eluded me. I really thought having that many challengers would mean she would have to have a runoff. In retrospect, I'm looking back now and wondering, did that many challengers create confusion? And people just goes, I don't know, I'll just go with what I know. And so they kind of had that apathetic, I'll just vote for Ivy and just be done. So I don't know, but... is she have a mandate? I don't know. Can you have a mandate when you had that many challengers within your own party take you all the way to the point that people were scared you're going to have a runoff? I don't know that you can call it a mandate. Dale?
I don't know why, what bubble you're talking about, Jeff. I may have endorsed Tim James, but I said he finished third by the time this is all over. There'd be no runoff. I got the Senate race pretty close, too, so that might be your bubble, not mine. Secondly, yeah, she ran the air-free Joe Biden campaign. She just said, okay, Joe Biden's a terrible person, so elect me. Aren't I great? Here's a gun in my purse. And now, does she have a mandate? I don't think so. I mean, Will Ainsworth won the election. I mean, that's the real story. But she doesn't have a mandate, but she's still going to get out there as much as she does and say, oh, the Democrats are coming for me. She can't even name who the other Democrats running against her are. There's a runoff I can't even name at this point. There's no fear. She's got it. She's got it locked up. But a mandate, I mean, no more than she had before. She didn't really do anything. She signed bills other people passed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Jeff, your own question. What do you think?
Senator, you hit something that I can't believe I got to say this on these airways, but I am here. My mom voted in Tuesday's primary. Mom, who'd you vote for? Well, I voted for Mo Brooks. What about governor? Oh, I just marked a ballot for whoever was at the bottom of the list here. I don't Dean somebody. My mom voted for Dean Young. If you don't know the history there, then maybe we can spend some time on that later. But my mom voted for Dean Young, and that just tells you, you just get the sense this no one cared.
So one of the 3 votes statewide that Dean Young got came from your mom, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, you're correct.
Oh, Lord. All right. Copper, that's a good time frame for us to laugh ourselves into a break. So go ahead and take it. We'll do that right now. Folks, we are in the Grand Council. My brethren, Dale Jackson right here at WVNN, and Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5. We will be right back. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going right back now to the Grand Council with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5, who happens to also be the political editor for 1819 News and the editor for Breitbart. Take that resume. And then our own Dale Jackson right here, WVNN, program director, morning show guy extraordinaire. I think, who was next? Dale, I think you're up next.
All right, Public Service Commission, always toting Jeremy Oden. Looks like those ads didn't really work. Got two incumbents dealing with runoffs. What's that all about? Who cares about the Public Service Commission at all, let alone enough to have a runoff here and vote for people other than the guys running dumb ads?
I think you just nailed it. I mean, who cares about Public Service Commission? I think that's the way the voters feel. They were so overwhelmed with the up ballot. You know, with the governor race and the U.S. Senate race and congressional race up in North Alabama and other state legislative races, that daggum, they're like, P.S. what? And so nobody really knew. But it's funny because the PSC actually does some important stuff. I mean, they work on, you know, deals with your utility rates and things like that. But still, it's not something that anybody really knows exists. And I think it just escaped the voters' attention, my thought, Jeff.
Is Alabama Power losing their grip on the PSC? Because typically what happens, they pretty much will who they want to be running that and who wins those elections. You remember the last time Always Toting Jeremy Oden was on the ballot? It was that Jim Bonner guy. Do you remember that? And he was leading, and then they essentially just went in, surgically destroyed him, and got their guy. And that's typically how this plays out. Well, PSC, I'm shocked to see it competitive like it is.
Well, and they also had the guy Dunn, who used to be on there from Etowah County, and they pretty much destroyed his reputation because he dared to question the way the rates are set. But I think Alabama Power was very focused on U.S. Senate and governor because they were all in for Ivy and for Britt, I believe, weren't they?
Yeah, because Wesley Britt was a vice president before he left to go help Katie on her campaign.
That's exactly right. Your own question, Dale. What's your thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, the ads were so stupid. I lost interest. I watched his politicians laugh about Jeremy Oden at an event I was at a couple weeks ago, how stupid it was and how pathetic it was. Kip Beaker's running an ad saying Trump picked him to run the PSC or some nonsense. Like, I don't even understand it. It's just nonsense, and it's embarrassing.
Totally agree. But anyway, I'll tell you what. Next question. Here's mine is kind of simple. All right. So this whole primary season was just filled up with stuff, and we've kind of touched on a few things already. But I want to know from you guys who are neck deep in it, because unlike, you know, I mean, like I have people that called me like even yesterday or day before and say, hey, who won that race? Because we're immersed in it. We see this stuff. But yet we see the stuff and then we find out we get surprised even though we think we know the stuff. So what surprised you is my question. What surprised you out of the entire primary season all the way up to the day of the vote? What caught you off guard? Jeff, you first.
I think Katie Britt outperforming and doing as well as she did. It turned out that she was the one that was under polling. I never would have figured that. I would have thought it was Mo. Turned out Mo's the one that over polls. Brett Buchanan, whoever commissioned the polls from Signals should get some money back or a discount on their next poll or something, because it was kind of off. And I here's my lesson from learning. I'll watch you all this. I've learned. Alabama's hard state to poll, and don't go all in on these polls. And that was kind of what I did this cycle.
Ah, Dale, you what?
Fake polls. Jeez. I'll tell you, the one thing that really kind of surprised me, besides the Brit, as he said, doing as well as she did, it was the Butler-Holtzclaw race. I was kind of surprised by that it wasn't closer. I mean, I know he was outspent all that money, but I still thought Holtzclaw had a chance of getting in there. So that kind of surprised me.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I already said that I was surprised by Ivy avoiding a runoff altogether. But I'll tell you the one that surprised me that I wasn't even tracking this, was Senator Tom Watley down in Lee County. And I know it's kind of outside all of our listening areas, but Lee County down at Auburn, the idea that Tom Watley, longtime incumbent and also the chair of Senate Judiciary, which is one of the most powerful committees in judiciary, is literally only got a 5-vote spread trying to avoid a runoff. They're going to probably have to do a recount for too much longer after the provisional ballots are counted. And I did not see that coming. That one just caught me off guard.
Avoid a runoff is trying to make the next round a general election.
True. Okay, there you go. All right. It's – And again, didn't see it coming. That one totally caught me off guard.
And just real quick, I'd add, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, that's a very important committee.
Yes.
We may be looking at a new Judiciary Chairman when this is all said and done.
Sam Gavan. I'm just saying. I could see it.
Yeah, Watley should have married someone who could vote. He would have got at least one more vote.
Oh, Lord, Dale, come on. No, don't say that.
Anyway, I think we're pretty much out of time. So, Jeff, I got to waylay you on your last question, but thank you, as always, my gentlemen, for being here for the Grand Council. FM Talk 106.5, Jeff Poor from down in the Mobile area, also with 1819 News as political editor, and our own Dale Jackson, who writes for Yellowhammer and does TV and whatever else in the world he can speak to. It's Grand Council. I'm Phil Williams. It's Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. Going into the last half hour.